Well, this morning we have a guest joining us here by phone. We're going to talk a little bit with a fellow by the name of Hank Kohler. He's got some interesting adventures that you can learn a little more about here coming up on Tuesday at the Anita Public Library. He'll be doing a bit of a story time and book signing at 2 o'clock Tuesday afternoon here on April 25th at the Anita Public Library about some of his travels. And I'm guessing his travels are a little different than yours. Hank, how are you today?
I'm doing really good this afternoon. Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it so much. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about, we're going to talk, focus kind of on the book. You've got a book that come out here that's called, it's got a lengthy title. It's called One for Water, Paddling North to Polar Bears, Then South to Alligators from the Same Starting Point 42 Years Later, and This Time It Mattered. that's a mouthful, but it sounds like you've got just about that many stories in there, too.
Well, Jim, I didn't want to just have a book title and have people think, it's just some guy paddling around in the river once in a while. I kind of wanted to add enough to it so they had the intrigue of, he actually went as far north as the water would take him, and then over four decades later, from the very same starting point, went the other direction as far as it could go. That's kind of a unique twist to the story.
Talk a little bit, if you can, about that very first trip. It was quite a while ago, and it kind of stems from something, as I understand, that you and your father had discussed.
Yes, when we were growing up on a family farm in northwest Iowa, outside the little town of Remsen, we always had something to look forward to. The very last week of summer, just before school started, we'd load all the kids in the station wagon. We'd have fishing poles and suitcases tied to the luggage rack on top, and way before the sun had come up, Dad would take a left turn at the driveway and end up way up in Minnesota someplace, basically a lake somewhere in Otter Tail County, Minnesota, preferably one with a rustic/inexpensive cabin on it that we would stay in then for a week. And, of course, you got a little rental boat, a wooden boat that would come with the cabin. Or we'd just go out and fish. And I absolutely, Jim, fell in love with that area. It wasn't just the fish we caught, but the loons and the lily pads, the herons and the frogs. And it was a utopian place that I really, really look forward to visiting every year. I was about 10 years old, I guess, and something happened on that trip that really changed my life a couple of times far in the future. And Dad and I were out fishing, and it was pouring on us. But, when you only have a few days each year to enjoy that area, you don't let something like a severe thunderstorm chase you back to the cabin. So we were still out there in the rain, and he asked me a question, I think maybe to take my mind off the circumstances. He wanted to know if I could tell him where those raindrops that were falling would finally end up on their journey to the sea. Well, I was about 10 years old, and, of course, at that time, I knew everything. I was pretty sure I did anyhow, and with confidence and pride, I said, Dad, this water will end up in a little stream that will get to the Mississippi and flow all the way to the Gulf of Mexico. Well, Jim, what he told me was, no, Henry, it doesn't. This water goes north. And I was just struck with that. I just needed to find out if he was right. He was, of course. I checked on it years later and saw that if we get into the Otter Tail River, that would flow into the Red River, which is the border between Minnesota and North Dakota. Go north from there through Lake Winnipeg, and then you still have 400 miles of wilderness on the Hayes River to get to the Hudson Bay. And it took me 17 years of dreaming about it, but finally in 1979, myself and one of my brothers and two friends left from a little lake right there and paddled about 1,400 miles. It took us 70 days and, of course, many adventures to reach Hudson Bay. We even got to see a polar bear lope by while we were waiting for the float plane to come and get us. So that was what the trip north was over four decades ago.
And then several decades later, as you mentioned, over four decades later, you decided to try the same thing but go the other direction.
Yeah, it was one of those epiphanies that you hear about that you wonder if they're actually real, where it's like a lightning bolt comes out of the sky while unicorns are dancing in the road in front of you. I had these big old goosebumps. I was going across the Leaf River up there heading for an ice fishing trip three winters ago, yeah, because in 2020. And with absolute clarity, I knew I was going to do something unusual and cool again. And as electric as that feeling was, Jim, I could explain it in just six words. Why not go the other direction? And I just knew with certainty I was going to. But, if you're going to paddle a canoe that far in a summer when you're, almost pushing 70 at the time, you don't want it just to be for the challenge, the adventure, election. I wanted it to count for something. I wanted it to be my chance to pay back the debt that I felt I owed Mother Nature for all of the fabulous times and days I've spent in the outdoor areas and all the memories that I've had from those outings. So, you know, I decided I was going to do it. I was able to partner with what's called the National Mississippi River Museum and Aquarium up in Dubuque, Iowa. They have conservation programs that impact and engage hundreds of young people every year. So it was a perfect place, if I could convince anybody, you know, to donate money to this endeavor, for those dollars to go. And they, of course, also had some expertise in actually putting together the fundraiser, something I knew nothing about. So with their help, I was able to get a web page up and a Facebook page. And long before the journey even started, just by telling people what we were going to do, money started flowing in, which was kind of cool.
Well, it's fun to be able to chase some adventures, but also to be able to know that you're doing something positive along the way.
Yeah, like I said, when we were in our 20s heading north, and of course back then you had no GPS, no computers, no cell phones, we had no sponsorship or anything like that. We simply wanted to see if we can do it. And you know, Jim, there's something else to be said about when you're in that age and you're either working or you're in college, to take a whole summer off. Wow, that's unbelievably special to just go out and have fun. You know, when I did the trip down south, of course, I'd been retired for several years, so shoot, I got my summers off all the time anyhow. But it was kind of neat to do something that was going to be special and could, you know, it wouldn't make a big difference worldwide as far as any conservation goes, but in a small area and for maybe a long time, by impacting those young people, it'll make a little bit of a difference. And like I said, it makes me feel like I kind of paid back the debt I owed.
Hank, talk about writing the book. You know, your perspective, being able to see the things you did. It's one thing to see the river. It's another thing to see it from a boat. But to actually see it from a canoe, that's a whole different perspective.
Yeah, it was. Well, first of all, Jim, it was never planned. You know, I was so excited about doing the trip and making sure that I had the right people with me, the right supplies, equipment. All of those processes had to be done right so that it was a positive experience for everybody. I never, ever dreamt that I was going to do a book about it. But as we went along, almost all of the donations would come in because of a Facebook page that we had up. And we got to have such a following. Over 1,500 people were looking forward to seeing that every evening when I posted. So it actually even changed sometimes where we would camp, because if I didn't have cell service, we'd simply paddle further down the river until we did, because I didn't want to let those people down. I mean, we had hundreds of comments from people saying, hey, we look forward to this every day. We feel like we're on the river with you. This is so awesome. Thank you so much. And then those are the folks, Jim, that said, we want to relive it again. Would you please, please write a book about it? Well, you know, at first I said, no, I had no intention of doing that. But so many people were asking about it that I finally thought, you know, I could do that. And, of course, I thought it'd be kind of easy at first because I had a little journal I wrote our notes in. And, of course, I had those exact Facebook pages I could go back and look at to, you know, and put that all together in a day one, day two, day three thing like that. But you know, after discussing the possibility and how this should go together with my wife, she says, Hank, don't just make it a book where you paddle, got tired, slept, and the next day you paddled some more and then got tired and slept. I said, make it, it's your book. Put in there all of your past history of why you did the trip, the adventure to Hudson Bay, how the trip went together, the very fabulous partners that we had with One for Water. And then she said, you know, go ahead and add your thoughts and opinions on things that you care about, like trees, birds, water, even things such as hope and wonder and music and that. So there's a lot of really cool things in there besides just that we paddled until we got tired.
Yeah, kind of your own Lewis and Clark adventure.
Well, it, you know, it's an adventure, but and when you do it in 2021 compared to 1803, it's totally different. You've got... Well, just a little example. Shoot, my kids, even though I don't think they should have been too worried about me, they put a tracking app on my phone, and they knew where I was all the time, you know.
Yeah, very different. Well, even in those 42 years from one to the other, you talked about the technology changes and things, but the other change would be the passage of time. Did you have to account for that when you tried to physically prepare for those trips?
It was a lot tougher on me. I would get tired. A lot of times people said, well, did you fish a lot in the evening? I said, no, by the time I got my tent set up and cooked supper and then was writing that Facebook post, boy, I was beat. It was time to rest. So, but we got through it, and it was good.
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of adventures, a lot of great stories, and folks can read about them in this book. Where can they find that book, Hank?
Well, obviously, they can find it with me at the Anita Public Library on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. But otherwise, they can just get to Amazon and just look up One for Water. Now, that's spelled the word one and then the number four and then the word water. And if you go on Amazon, that gets you to the book and explains about that and how you can buy that. But that very same thing, if you go on Facebook and punch up One for Water, you'll get the whole history of the trip, and you can actually go back through and see the exact post that we did while we were on the journey.
Sounds like a great adventure. Thank you so much for your time here today and sharing some of those stories with us. And if folks want to learn more about those stories, again, Tuesday, 2 o'clock at the Anita Public Library, they'll be able to learn more. I would guess you'll probably share a few stories.
I'm not a scientist, Jim. I'm a storyteller, and I enjoy talking to folks. So I'd love to see people there.
Very good. Hank, thank you so much for your time. And, hey, Godspeed on any future adventures.
Appreciate that. Thanks a lot, Jim. Appreciate it. Bye.